The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
All right, so my husband and I, we started homeschooling because homeschooling is normal to us. I was homeschooled, my husband was homeschooled, so if we sent our kids to school, it'd be weird. So I have a bit of a different story than most people. But it's amazing to have what my parents chose to do follow through to the next generation. And so it was a great experience. I was homeschooled all the way through my education, and they were really creative. But back in the day, there was no real options for homeschool curriculum. There was a couple of little ones, but my mom dug around and made it work with what she had. So my husband's parents actually told my parents about homeschooling, so it's in our blood. And when I was homeschooling my children in their preschool years, we actually started a homeschool co-op for people whose children were under the age of 5. So if you have little kids, you're still already homeschooling. If your kids aren't in school, then you're homeschooling, you're teaching them at home. And we're excited to have you here to listen to the options. So why do I love homeschooling? I love it. Well, the first thing that came to my mind, no packing lunches. No need to get out of my pajamas. We take warm days instead of snow days. When it's warm out and it's snowball-making weather, we make centaurs and snow forts. And when there's a blizzard, we do a lot of schoolwork. Homeschooling has allowed us to teach from our worldview in every area. So it's not just Bible class. We can teach science from our worldview. We can teach history from our worldview. We can give our kids a rounded view of world history, where we talk about every side, not just politically correct sides, not just religious sides. We can talk about every side and how they contributed to history and the lessons we can learn from history. We can also tailor our education for our children to their interests and their abilities. For example, my oldest daughter has been really interested in sign language. She's done a few online courses with that. My next daughter is really interested in swimming. She's done her national lifeguard, synchronized swimming coaching. My son really wanted to do computer coding, so he's been doing some of that. My other son's in grade 2. He just wants to bounce off the walls. Have no example of his interests, I guess, building forts. And I can also teach my children together. We have a one-room schoolhouse type idea for a lot of our subjects, and it's a really special time of our day to get together, to learn together, grade 2, grade 12. Sometimes it's magic school bus for the grade 12, and sometimes we're watching high school physics videos for the grade 2. And so they all learn something from what they're learning. Homeschooling also saves a lot of money. If you look at private school, you can buy any homeschool curriculum. You can buy any online course. You can buy any manipulatives or craft supplies and still come out cheaper. So just a little bit of effort, and it's a very affordable option. And what I wish I knew when I started homeschooling, kids have different learning styles. I'm sure some of you have heard about it, but a quick overview. There's the visual learner. They need to see to learn. So they like to read. They like to see a picture or a diagram. They like to see videos. There's auditory. They need to hear to learn. So those are the kids that love audiobooks. Those are the kids who, when you explain the directions to them, when you tell them the list, that's when they remember it. There's the kinesthetic learners. They learn best by doing. Those are the ones that like to do the science experiments. I like to see the science experiments and not get dirty. Those are the ones who like to reenact the history things. They move and they do. Those are sometimes the hardest ones to teach sometimes. And then there's the combo kids. I have one of those, still haven't nailed her down. She's graduating this year. Pretty sure she's all of them at some point in time. And then there's different learning styles for mom or teacher. Different teaching styles. So there's some people who teach their kids very, very structured. They have a schedule for the whole day. There's some people who are very relaxed. Every day is different, whatever they feel like. There's people who work more one-on-one. They have a different curriculum for each subject for each kid, but they work with them one-on-one. There's moms that teach everybody all together every time. And the amazing thing is that those all work. And finding the combination of your child's learning style and your teaching style is the best way to find the curriculum that works for you and to find the way that works for your family. So don't just do what your friends do. I have a homeschool co-op and I talk to the moms and we're all teaching the same grade. And we all sometimes have the same curriculum. And yet our day looks completely different in how we teach our children. And once I found that, it worked a lot better. Advice I give new homeschoolers, buy the bare minimum curriculum to start with. Just get a few things to start with. Don't go up, if you're in this conference, don't go up in the exhibit hall and take everything. I mean, the exhibitors would love it if you did. But my advice is look around, pick out a few fun things, and then just start. But don't buy everything, because there's so many free online resources. Start, figure out what works for you before you invest in the big package that's gonna cost you $1,000. Keep things simple, especially if they're in the younger grades, reading, writing, math, and then if you have a library, pull out books and start subjects like science by just reading about it. Watch YouTube videos. Start simple and work your way up. So start with the simple stuff, start with the basics, and get those figured out, and then add everything else in later. And the other thing I'd suggest is it's okay to take a break. If you're overwhelmed, or if you're feeling like it's spring, the sun's shining, and everybody just wants to be outside, put away the books, go out, discover bugs, plant plants, figure out those kind of things. Do read alouds outside on the trampoline. Get outside, enjoy it. That's what little kids need. That's what they need, and that's usually what mom needs, especially at the end of a long school year after our cold, bitter winters are done. Take an extended summer. Just bring education into your lives. And last thing is get creative. Take a field trip, do a craft. As much as you do not want to clean up litter, you do not want to clean up glue, you do not want to clean up little pieces of paper that they've cut up, those are the things that they remember. They remember those paper plate crafts. They remember when you had a movie night that went with your history lesson. And for example, it doesn't really have to do with history, but we read Lord of the Rings, and my 8-year-old, every time we make any stew, he's like, is it Hobbit stew? I love Hobbit stew. They remember, food is very important to education. And so I'm just happy that all of you came to this session. I know that you are all amazing parents, and you're all seeking the best option for your family. It isn't an easy decision, but we're here to help, and we're here to answer any questions we can so that you can make the right decision for your family. Okay, I guess Diane is making us stand up.
I'm gonna sit.
So it's kind of interesting to hear Diane's story because I feel like I'm kind of opposite. When people hear that I started homeschooling right from the beginning, people think that was my plan, but homeschooling was definitely not my plan. I had never met a homeschooler. I never knew anyone who was homeschooled, and I really kind of thought it was for people like in rural areas that weren't close. It was just what you did. You sent your kid to school. And so that was always our plan, and my oldest, Anissa, was getting to the age of going to school, so we started to look into it. And just what we came up with and what we were hearing, the content, the stuff that was in the libraries, things that were being pushed, we really just stopped feeling comfortable with this idea, and all of a sudden we felt like we're kind of scrambling, but God has perfect timing, and a friend of ours decided to homeschool her son. She was a year ahead of us, so this is the very first time I ever heard about it, and so this whole new option started to open up to us. And that year, we met We met several adults who had been homeschooled and had post-secondary and had full careers. And then some of our other friends were deciding to homeschool, and we just really started to see God walking out this path for us. So we decided, all right, let's try it for a year. Maybe there's some people here thinking that. Let's just try for a year. We can always quit. We can always send them to school. And that was totally our plan, but then we totally fell in love with it. I loved having my kids in my home. I loved the flexibility and the schedule and the curriculum and just the ability to travel. So there's lots of reasons to love homeschooling, but when you're trying to narrow it down, like for this, I was like, okay, what's my number one reason I love homeschooling? And I have to say it's the influence. And a lot of that has to do with them being in your home. So there are studies out there that show that our kids' biggest influence is actually their peers. And I think that's just the amount of time that you are with them. So teachers change, and your pastor you see once a week, and you know, all those other influences. But who are you with the majority of the week, the majority of the day? It's your peers, and they travel up the grades with you, right? So you're kind of marinating it in it all the time. Like, how do you not get influenced by that? And don't get me wrong, I know homeschoolers might get this like helicopter mom kind of stereotype. We are extroverts. We are out every single day. I'm in multiple co-ops. I'm not hovering over my kids. But I also know where they are. I know who they're hanging out with. I know for how long. You're more in on the ins and outs of their day, what they're dealing with, and you get to speak into it right there in that moment. You know, it's not like they're dealing with something for 6 hours and then they get over it or they get quiet about it or whatever. You just have a greater idea of what they're doing and what's affecting them, and you can speak truth over that. Like young minds, they don't necessarily have the maturity or the experience to look at every situation, especially relationally. I've seen this a lot with my teen girls. You know, someone doesn't pick you for a project or something, and it's like, oh, they must like this person better. And you just get to speak other options, you know, like, or maybe it's because this person asked you or someone asked them first, or, you know, it's just like that. And I really see a difference in their confidence, in their self-esteem, their faith, their morale, like their moral code. All those things really grow in those areas when you get to speak truth over what they're doing day to day and spend the most time with them. So I'd have to say the best or the number one reason we homeschool is for that influence. And we do have teen girls, and I think it's more important now more than ever. The studies that show that the biggest influence is their peers definitely get higher and higher as they get older and older. When I say that study, I don't mean the little ones. It's mainly, you know, as they age, the big influence there. For advice to homeschoolers, the number one thing I was thinking of is things like this, like keep coming to conference, keep going to classes or online conferences or support groups, because you need to be fed. I love homeschooling, but I will be the first to tell you it's super hard, and you are going to need like-minded support. And if you're not pouring into yourself and into what you're doing and reminding yourself and encouraging, you might burn out. And the people I know who have burned out were pulling away from this stuff before they ended up on that track. It's because they weren't filling themselves. I know people who take, you know, a day, this is my planning day, and maybe they go to the spa or they do online conferences or whatever. Whatever works for you, just make sure you don't stop doing it. It's not just about the kids. All the weight is on you guys, right? So make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And then also, I'm just gonna go on a limb to say, if you have homeschooling on your heart, that might be a God thing. I think you're here for a reason, and God might put this on your heart. And if God is for you, right, is he not gonna take care of you during your homeschool journey? A couple of years ago, like I said, we're extroverts. A lot of our community was changing. People we have been doing homeschooling with for years and years were putting their kids in school, and like I was anxious, I was stressed out, because I'm like, oh my goodness, this is who we do homeschooling with, like what are we going to do? And I cried out to God, and I was like, you wanted me to do this, God. And that year, he completely provided a whole other community for my girls. And I don't mean one friend. Like, it was above and beyond what I could have expected. And they have a whole new group of Christian homeschool girls that they are now hanging out with. And that wasn't me. So that was such a God thing. So if there is something that you're just hitting the wall on, make sure to bring it to God if he's put you on this journey. Homeschooling is biblical, you know. It says, teach them when you're laying down and when you're sitting and when you're walking. I'm paraphrasing. You know, he says, you know, put them on the path that they're to go and they won't depart. Like, this is biblical, and God is going to provide. And then lastly, what I wish someone told me, so if anyone's staying here at the conference and you go to the vendor hall, like I told you, when I started homeschooling, I couldn't have been more naive when I came here the very first year. I thought there would be an English table and a math table and a science table, but of course there are thousands of options up there, and I was super overwhelmed, and I went home and cried, if I'm going to be really honest. So I don't want to freak anyone out, but if you don't know that, it's not like what I thought. And everyone is so friendly. So when I came back the second day, math is my, I did not know what to do for math. It's all numbers. It's like a different language. I'm like, what's better than another? I have no idea. And I just started asking random people. Now there's people with special lanyards, and there's the mentor table and whatever. But I was just asking anyone who walked by, what math do you do? What math do you do? And everyone was so willing to help, and I just kept hearing the same two over and over again. They both had a table at the conference. I went to both, was able to pick what was good for me. So don't be overwhelmed. Take it one thing at a time. I think Diane gave really good advice. I maybe spent $1,000.
I did $8 in 8 years, so don't ask me.
So yeah, lots of people willing to help, so don't be overwhelmed. And I hope you guys do stay. It's an amazing experience and so much wisdom from the stage. So thank you.
Well, I feel like you pretty much stole most of my points.
Oh, no.
So that's awesome.
I don't have to say them again.
I even wrote down Deuteronomy 11:19, which is that verse that talks about teaching them when they lay down and go all day before you go. Anyways, so our story, I guess, is somewhat similar. I assumed that we would just send our kids to school. I had my own ambitions. I had gotten a degree, and I was planning to use it. I even, when my daughter was, I don't know, a toddler or so, I even went back to school because I wanted to get a little bit more education to do social work. And while I was doing two courses, so it wasn't even a very heavy load, I was doing schoolwork, my own schoolwork, one day, and she came up to me and she said, Mommy, no more schoolwork. And I realized, I was like, oh, my stuff is so important, but this kid is more. But I still figured once she was old enough to go to school, that's just what we'd do. But she was such an active kid. She, and not just active, but like very, very physically active. So she was constantly, like you think of a little kid climbing the walls, and that was her. Like literally, I'm not even kidding. Like we would go somewhere that had bricks, and she would literally climb the walls. And I remember walking through the school that we were thinking of sending her and looking into the classrooms and thinking, this would just break her. So for kindergarten, we kept her home. Sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. And it didn't go well. It actually went really terrible. Like, I'm going to be really bare and honest here. Our kindergarten year was terrible. I went and I picked what was the only curriculum that I had heard of, really, what everybody that I knew of used. And it was a box curriculum, and it was tons of work. So yeah, like in kindergarten, she had to do like 3 pages of just writing practice, never mind everything else. And so I figured, like, I can't fail this kid. I have to make sure she does all these things. And so we did. And by the end of the year, I didn't like her, and she didn't like me. It was bad. My husband basically told me, I don't think you should do that again. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. So grade one came and we sent her to school. And she had her little backpack and she was so cute. And it was almost right away that she would come home from school. And as soon as she got home, so by now I had other children, and she would just basically explode every day when she came home from school, because she was like, all day long, she was pent up, and she would come home and just explode. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, God, this is clearly not working either. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, I can't homeschool her, clearly I suck. And this schooling business is not working for her either. So I'm like, man, like, what do I do? So I started to really seek God, okay, like, is this actually what you want me to do? And as Christmas approached that year, I started feeling like, okay, no, but God actually really is telling me that I need to do this. And so I asked Carlos permission, like, can we actually do this again? And I think he realized, too, that we needed to try again. And during that Christmas break, I read a biography on Susanna Wesley. I'm just going to go on a rabbit trail here. For your educating of your kids, if there's anything that is going to impact them more than I think almost any other curriculum ideas, it is biographies. Biographies are incredibly powerful. Stories are powerful, but real life stories are incredible for changing a person's course, for their understanding. So it was just a little rabbit trail. But anyway, so I read this Susanna Wesley biography, and this woman was unbelievable. Her story challenged me on so many levels. Her husband was a minister and he was gone most of the time. So she was basically a single mom. I mean, she was obviously married, but she was basically a single mom. And she put so much effort into the faith of her children, into educating them, into her own faith walk. Like, they're just unbelievable stories of that she would, like, her kids knew that if she had her apron over her head, that it was her prayer time and they were not to bother her. Now, if you have a house full of kids and they know not to bother you, ever, like, that's a miracle in and of itself. But she also, like, there were just so many things in that book that just really challenged me. There were things like, so they had a fire at one point and her kids had to go live with other families. And when they came back, they had been so influenced by these other families, and it concerned her so much that her kids had been influenced by the secular music of the day. And I just started laughing. I'm like, oh man, like, she has no idea. But there were just so many things in that book that challenged me. And I'm like, she had so much ownership over her mothering, over her parenting. Like, that concept that these kids are mine, and their future and their souls are on, like, obviously, yes, like, they have free will and it is their choice eventually, but the onus of how much her influence or our influence on our kids, how much importance there is in that, it just challenged me and it gave me a new vision, I guess, of what having my kids home would be. So yeah, after Christmas that year, we took her out of school again and we tried again, and I bought no curriculum. I did do math with her, but that was the only thing curriculum-wise we did for the rest of the year. And by the end of grade one, she was reading chapter books. And it floored me. Because she was still that crazy kid. I just wanted to, yeah, I guess, it's funny because I saw on your paper you had circled your why too. But to me, if you are going to start this journey, and what I wish I had done when I started was to figure out why. Why do I want to keep my kids home? What is the purpose of this? Is it just to pound facts into their brain? No, it's actually not. So if you buy all of the curriculum, or you follow exactly the Manitoba curriculum, or whatever curriculum you have, and your kids learn all of these things, what really is the point if they have facts in their head, but they have no skills and they have no character? So to me, what I want to do in our homeschool is I want to develop character in my kids and I want to develop skills. So can they actually tackle problems? Do they know how to tackle problems? When something comes at them from totally left field and knocks them out, are they going to be able to get back up? Or are they going to start cussing and crying and giving up? Right? Like, That is one of the things that I have found to be one of the greatest blessings of homeschooling our kids, is that it's not even the curriculum stuff or the what we're learning in the book stuff. It's the character stuff that happens all the time. So, like, if the kids are at school, they can have serious character issues and you may not even know because you just don't see it. So they might come home and be a little bit upset, but you won't necessarily know why. But to have that kind of, like Heather was talking about, like that, like you know the heartbeat of your kid when they're with you all the time. And so if there's a little bit of a character issue, you can address it right away because they're always there. And I just wanted to speak on the socialization thing just a little bit. So I feel that if you can get an incredibly strong home base and your kids feel 100% that they belong in your home and with dad and with mom, and they feel absolutely secure, they are at a place then where they can go out into the world and socially interact with people in confidence. So throwing a bunch of kids together and calling that socialization is a farce. That is not true. It's actually, if the kids are not mature, it's actually fairly unhealthy. Like, you know, in basically any other time in history, mentorship and like kids learning from elders was the norm in almost any culture, and it's not anymore. And we think it's normal to just give our kids away to strangers, and not even just the teachers, but we're basically giving them to other kids to raise each other. It's crazy talk. And yes, it's normal, but it's not, like, it's common, but it's not actually normal. So, I don't know. Homeschooling is a very different life, and it's not easy. I still have days that I suck, I'm going to be honest. For real, I do. And there is no holy grail of curriculum. Like, Dan said, like, I've tried I don't know how many different curriculums, and I still don't necessarily like what we're using. But that's not what it's about. My kids are learning, and man, are they becoming incredible people. Like, they floor me. Like, I was saying before we started, like, I'm not even sure, my 15-year-old is here, and my 12-year-old's here too, but I'm not even sure that my 15-year-old would have wanted to be friends with me when I was 15. Because she's so mature in so many of the ways that matter, she just blows me away. Ava, can you just stand up for a second? Now I'm going to embarrass her here. If any of you have questions about homeschooling or what it's like, please go talk to her. For real. I'm totally putting her on the spot. But she'll answer your questions.
I'm guessing my daughter's running right now.
but not even my daughter, but if you see other youth here today, please, please, please go talk to them. If you want to know what this homeschooling thing does for kids, talk to the youth. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a tough act to follow. These are three exceptional ladies. my name is Laura. I'm a homeschool mom, and I'm also a lawyer. And that can sometimes be a tricky combination, and so I have a little bit of a different perspective. And I think one of the beautiful things about homeschooling is, if you're not sure you belong here, I want to say you belong. I felt when I first went to the conference, there's such a wide variety of people. Everybody has a different story and a different background, and everybody's doing homeschooling in a different way that suits their family. My story and the way we homeschool is very different than these three ladies here, and that's okay, and the way they homeschool works for them. And so I think that's important to say. You do homeschooling in a way that works for you. So I grew up attending public school. I'm not from a homeschooled family. And when I grew up, the homeschoolers I knew, I have to say honestly, I thought they were a little bit weird. And I thought that I for sure would never do this. I didn't want to have weird kids. Right?
They all had weird parents.
Exactly. And so when I started having children, we decided to send them to public school, to our local school. And the further we got in public school, the more dissatisfied I was. And that was for several reasons. A very popular reason is the values that are taught at school. I was not comfortable with that. And the longer they went, the more uncomfortable I became. Another reason was, in the end, The academic standard was not what I hoped for. And I was disappointed, and I concluded that I could actually provide my children a better education at home. Academic success is very important to me, and I realized perhaps as their mom, I could be more qualified to provide them the education I wanted them to have than them being at public school. Yeah. Another reason was that I found at school they didn't have the support that I was expecting them to have. So I had a child with reading challenges, and the school was not concerned, they didn't provide any support, and so we had to hire a private tutor to address what was potentially dyslexia, and there was no support at school. And so I also found that disappointing. And so in the end, I concluded that perhaps we were the best ones to homeschool our children. I like to approach homeschooling with humbleness and say that it's okay to try it, and it would be okay to say at the end, if you decide it's not for you, that's okay too, right? You haven't failed. Go ahead, try it, give it a chance. And so this past year, my family's actually done a blended approach. So I'm homeschooling two children, grade one and grade three, and we're actually sending our grade five student to a private school. I found for that one child, homeschooling, I was perhaps concluding maybe wasn't the right fit for this kid for this age. And so in my heart, I felt like perhaps that I had failed, but actually my goal is, homeschooling is not about me and what's best for me, it's actually what's best for each child. So that's how we approach it. We look at kind of a tailored approach, assess what each child needs, and try to do what's best for that child for that year. So that's how we're approaching it. So something that I want to share a little bit with you on, and my tip for homeschooling, is to sit down with a paper and a pen and just think about what is your reason for homeschooling. And some of the other ladies talked about this briefly, but I really believe passionately in homeschooling with intention and with a purpose. Homeschooling is a lot more than pulling your kids out of public school one day and buying a workbook at Costco and then say we're homeschooling. It requires a lot more thought than that, because it's hard, right? I practiced law, that was hard. Homeschooling is way harder. Like, it really, really is, right? It challenges you in every way, right? Until, like, you can be worn to a frazzle, as we all know, right? It's very, very challenging. And so on those challenging days, if you can go back to the reasons why you're homeschooling, that will give you the endurance to continue on. So my suggestion for families is to create a homeschool vision and goals for their homeschool. So sit down and consider, why is our family choosing to homeschool? And that's different for every family. You've seen from the ladies here, it's not always the same. What is it we're hoping to achieve this year as a family and for each individual child? What are our goals and how are we going to reach those goals? What curriculum best suits our homeschool paradigm, right? We all know, as these ladies have said, that you try something and you're like, this is not working. You try something else and this isn't working. It can be a tricky business. Give some thought to what best suits your homeschool paradigm. And very importantly, how are we going to meet each child's educational, spiritual, and social needs this year? And I find these things don't just happen. It won't just happen. You have to be intentional about it. You have to think it through and do it with purpose. And if kids are older and you're starting to homeschool, I would involve them in this process. I would bring them in and have these discussions with them and get buy-in from them. Something I've done in my homeschool is I've had the kids make a slogan or a theme for the year, right? And something to inspire us in our school year. Another thing we like to do is, I guess, it's like we're having our own school at home. I have dedicated space, we have a little schoolroom set up, and we do things to make the school year fun. We take school pictures and class pictures. We count down the 100 days of school and have a party on the 100th day. So we do these kinds of things that perhaps they would experience if they went to school. And so because we kind of come from a school background, I like to incorporate those in our homeschool. And so we like to celebrate a lot. I think that's the key word. We like to have a good time and have parties to help kind of with some of the dreary tasks that sometimes come with homeschooling. And finally, I'm going to just touch briefly on the law, and I think these folks over here will as well. Sometimes concerned family or friends hear that you're homeschooling and they're concerned, and they say, is this legal, right? Like, and the answer is yes, right? This is, you have the right to homeschool in Manitoba. The Public Schools Act of Manitoba provides families the right to homeschool. And so I think it's a good idea to be prepared with an answer. I know when I'm out and about in the community and I'm taking my kids with me and we're shopping, we get questioned. Why are these kids not in school, right? People are curious. And so it's good to have an answer. Be prepared to represent homeschooling well. If you have questions about the law in homeschooling, you can come say hello to us at the HSLDA booth on the,
third floor.
We'd love to talk to you more if you have any questions.
Well, thank you all, ladies. If you feel overwhelmed now, this is just the start. Guys, I want you to look at your wives. They are going to feel overwhelmed regularly. Don't be surprised. And when that happens, look into their eyes and say, can you tell me how you're feeling? But don't come up with a solution or an answer, because that's actually not what they want. They just want to talk about it. They just want you to listen. So when your wife says, I want to quit, don't be surprised. It might happen every week. And I'm serious.
Sorry.
There's stories that go with this. It's real.
Yeah, we all have a story, I'm sure. Yeah.
The reality in Manitoba is that home education has always been legal. We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate in this province since the inception of Manitoba as a province. Home education has been a lawful alternative for parents to choose. The United Nations Universal Declaration on Human Rights from 1948 says that parents have a prior right to choose and direct the education of their children. And it goes on to say, according to their beliefs and values. You have a right. The bottom line in Manitoba, it is legal. You don't have to ask for permission to do this. You need to inform the government. Government, we want to homeschool. And the government will ask you some questions. But the liaison officers, who you'll hear from just very briefly, you can talk to them. They don't always talk the same language as what you do, because they speak like educationese, and they're trying hard to speak home education, and they're doing good. But we're thankful that I think the law in Manitoba falls into place actually fairly closely with Deuteronomy. You've heard the quote here today that we are commanded as parents to teach our children diligently. We're not, it doesn't say teach them really advanced math and reading and those things. It says teach them diligently what's on your heart, and to share that value, that belief, and teach that diligently. And to do it in a way that goes far beyond the school. It's as you walk along the wayside and do all of these things. So how do we share character and skills by our children actually watching us? And that's really scary. But that's the main curriculum. The main curriculum is actually not what you buy upstairs. It's the things that help you frame some things, but what you're teaching is life. What happens when your business is in trouble? What happens when you're frustrated with your spouse or your friends or your family? Your kids are watching you, and you are preparing them for those same things in their life. And there's no curriculum like that other than life. So I'm thankful for the reality in Manitoba that we can teach our children diligently what's on our heart. And all of the forms and all of the things that we have that we use to communicate with government struggle with how do you communicate that How do you communicate that heart? And I would encourage you to communicate that. Share what you're trying to accomplish, because I think it's an education for all of us. So I want to just take a brief, a few minutes. I know that the homeschool office has brought a few slides. They have a booth upstairs, and it's just the start of the journey. They're, I think I would call them friends and partners. We work alongside them. We don't always agree, and then we work it out. So Ellen and Julie, just very briefly, if you could just give us the Reader's Digest condensed book on what does this thing look like from government side.
Thank you, Gerald. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with new parents who are considering homeschooling or maybe have just started homeschooling. We appreciate the invitation and just the trust that you have to have us as part of your sessions over the next couple of days. Just a little fact for you. In the Red River Settlement, when it became a settlement prior to 1870, the first education that occurred were in the homes. Kids were homeschooled. That was the way they were educated. And then somewhere along the line, the Catholic Church came along and they developed or they offered some religious education in terms of a school at the time. And then finally in 1916, the Manitoba Schools Act was passed. And in that act, the right for parents to homeschool was enshrined. It was always there, but it was enshrined in 1916. So we're really proud of the fact that homeschooling has been a legal option in Manitoba since 1916, one of the longest running legal options for homeschooling probably anywhere in North America. So we're really proud of that, and it's something that you should never worry is going to disappear. So anyway, I'm not going to keep you very long right now. If you've got questions following this presentation, Julie and I and our colleagues who support our work in the homeschooling office are right next door to the HSLDA booth, and we're very happy for you to drop by, ask questions. We're there to support you. We're not there to say, no, you can't homeschool. We're there to say, okay, what do you feel you need so that we can help you be successful? Because if you're successful, we're all successful. So anyway, turn things over to Julie.
Hello, I'm Julie. I've been with the office for about a year and a couple months now, and I just want to say this panel here is phenomenal. They actually probably answered 90% of the questions we get there. You know, what do I use? Can I switch in the middle of the year? I don't know if I can handle this. What they didn't touch on a bit, which we will in our session with Gerald, is a bit about high school. So if you are thinking about homeschooling in high school, we have some information for you, because a lot of people are like, well, what if they want to go to post-secondary? What if they want to do a trade? So we have information for that. But we also have a picture here for you. This is the three liaison officers that are currently there. So myself, Alan, and Michelle Marchaldon. She sends her hello. She is a former homeschool parent as well. She homeschooled her students, her two children, all the way through until they entered university at about 16 years of age. So we all come from an alternative sort of educational background, so we all know different choices are available, and we want to help you out with them. The other two colleagues that you'll see with us today are Tracy. If you've ever phoned the office, she's our clerk. She's probably the first person you talk to. If you ever email the homeschooling office, she'll be the one who either responds or passes it on to us. And we also have a mom with us today who's one of our STEP students to help us out. So please come see us. We can tell you all about us. Please come join us in the legal panel. We have more information there as well. I think that's about all the time we have.
Ellen, Julie, thank you so much. Now, for those of you that aren't registered for the conference, you actually can't go up to the exhibit hall. So if you have questions, some of us will stay around for a while and you can ask us questions even after the session. But I would really encourage you, if you're here, register for the conference, take it in, and participate, because it's well worth it. This evening, we will be hearing actually from the Minister of Education. He will be speaking, bringing greetings in the session at 7 o'clock.
That one is also free if they want to.
And that one you can come back to. It's free, and tell your friends, come for the evening session. Mm-hmm. It'll be a plenary session. There'll be some more information on HSLDA. And so that session this evening is also free, not requiring registration. So what we'd like to do now is just say, so what questions do you have? What are you thinking about and wondering about? How can we help? What questions do you have? Just put up your hand.
Can I stand up?
Sure. I'm going to pretend I'm one of these talk show guys.
Yeah. Hi. Okay, I'm not homeschooling yet. My child will be kindergarten age. My oldest will be kindergarten age this coming year. Physical activity. You know, we love to get the kids out at playgrounds, do all that type of stuff. But especially as my child gets older, I'm really concerned about high intensity physical activity. And I know, you know, you mentioned synchronized swimming, that type of stuff. What have you guys done to prioritize that type of activity and also done it in a way that you're not torturing all of your family members? And I say that because, you know, I think of driving every kid to everything, and that seems overwhelming because I have a 2-year-old, you know, another one is on the way here. So, you know, how do you balance that? And then even for your toddlers, making sure they're getting the right kind of physical activity, maybe as your older ones are getting tired of maybe going to playgrounds and things like that. So what have you guys done to kind of meet the physical activity needs, and especially the high intensity ones? So
I'm going to come back over here, and I'm going to start by asking Diane to describe her backyard.
All right, so the simplest physical activity for us is it's just at home. So my backyard is, I've got a climbing wall, and we've got swings, and we've got a play structure, and a lot of random junk. And so my boys are younger, they're 11 and 8, and they spend the majority of their day moving snow around the backyard with the neighbor kids. We are very lucky that we have 2 neighbors that are homeschooling as well. So they move snow around all day, and then as soon as it melts, they bike all day. But I would say homeschool co-op that has a class that you can all go to is a great option. Heather often teaches gym at our homeschool co-op. I hate teaching gym, but I do it occasionally. And then if you do pick an extracurricular, it's a great way to get physical activity. The best option is to pick one where multiple children can do it. We've picked the pool as kind of our location, and so I have a daughter that's competitive synchronized swimming, I have a son that's doing diving, and then both my boys were doing swimming at one point, and so that kind of thing. So it doesn't have to be paid, sometimes it can just be intentional. And when it's the middle of winter, we have a basement room that is called the floor hockey room, but it has no floor hockey in it. We have an area that is full of mattresses and pillows and a rope swing and a ladder, and the boys can jump into it and play in it and climb on the walls and fall into it, and it's a great way when it's too cold outside.
You can teach gym, you can talk for a bit.
So I do run a gym class with Diane at her co-op, but also another co-op I go to, and I actually have kids that are preschool all the way. I think my oldest is like grade 10 or 11, and I just do gym games, I don't do sports. But I've been doing that since the beginning because my kids love gym games, and it's just one of those things that they make me do. But when you're in the homeschool community, there's lots of things that can hit all the different ages at once. So I would really look for those things. And then if you are sick of getting out of the house, my kids really love these YouTube videos that are like Mario workouts. And you pick a side and you do its workout and you see which bad guy wins. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah. So when my kids have been younger, I was very adamant that we weren't gonna run around like chickens with our heads cut off. Like if I'm nursing a baby, I'm not hauling all the kids around for gymnastics for my 4-year-old. Sorry, not happening. Now that my kids are getting older, like my son has done soccer, he's done hockey this year for the first time, just rec hockey once a week. So we've started to do some of that organized stuff, but just on the whole, my kids are just active, like just send them outside. Like I think it's really underrated free time without somebody telling them what to do. Like you don't have to tell the kids run from this line to that line. They'll just run. They'll just play. So I just don't overthink it. Like yes, absolutely the kids have to be active, but I think if you limit the screen time, they'll get more active. Like it's literally, it'll just happen. my oldest, just last year, her prize of finishing math, which is our nemesis,
me too,
was getting silks. So now she has silks, yes, in our barn that she can play on. My son loves biking. He will bike even in the wintertime. It's insane. Like I've seen him haul his bike up the snow hill. It's not actually very good, but anyways. Yeah. And something that's really cool is I work out regularly myself, and the kids join me. Like they don't all consistently, but my son, like that is our greatest bonding time, is working out together, like doing weights, super fun. So just make it part of your family, part of what you do. Like yeah, playgrounds, I get it, like that gets boring. But like just go for walks. Like when I had little kids and I lived in the city, I would, instead of like choosing to go to the closest playground, I would choose to go to the farther playground. And I would make my 3 and 5-year-old walk, and they would complain, but I'm like, too bad, we're walking. So yeah, just don't overthink it. Just, yeah, that's my advice.
I just want to add something really quick. I've seen a big difference between my kids and the kids that go to school. My kids have way more creativity, and it's because we're not like telling them every minute what they're supposed to do. So I can just send them outside and they like come up with these elaborate games and forts and stuff. And I know all I hear from my friends that kids go to school is, I'm bored, what should I do? Tell me what to do. You do not have to do that with homeschooled kids. It's like, please come back, let's do some, sit still. Like they are very creative, very imaginative.
So once again, there's a lot of perspectives, and my perspective is a little bit different. So we live on an acreage, so my kids have a lot of outdoor space, and I keep sending them out, and they keep coming back, and I'm like, no, that wasn't long enough, you need to be out there longer. And I have 2 boys who are so energetic, right? There's damage in our house, holes in the wall, right? Like it's like they don't know what to do with their energy. And so for our family, organized sports is part of the solution. They need to be worked hard and they need an outlet. And I find in particular, since we're home all day, it's good for them to have the opportunity to get out with other people, other kids, and also learn how to listen to other adults who aren't their parents. And so our family is busy doing organized sports. Each kid has their own sports, and so that does keep us very busy. But to us, that is part of homeschooling. That's a component of homeschooling, is doing the organized sports.
I think a lot of times we try to control their activity. You know, keep it safe. Or say, well, you can't play with that stuff because we don't want it broken. But I think we need to give them permission that this stuff, they can do what they want to do, within reason. Have some logs, some stumps, some ropes, some things. And why can't they build a snowman that's 12 or 14 feet tall?
That's happened 5 times this year.
You know, that's kind of like weightlifting. And just to do things. A ratchet tie-down strap that us men would use to tie down things in a truck really well, why can't it be a slack line? It's a whole lot cheaper than the slack lines that you order online. Just use stuff that you already got later on the earth and let them do that. Yeah, it's going to be a mess, but you can clean it up.
And are you really a homeschooler if your backyard doesn't look like a hobo village?
Other questions?
Could you talk a little bit more about what a co-op entails and how to find one?
What a co-op entails and how do you find one?
She's doing a whole session on it. She can give it.
There's some sessions. Can you give us a summary?
Well,
sure.
No, she's giving
the
session.
Okay.
Both of you.
Both of you guys do it.
All right, so I've never done an organized co-op. I've started different groups when we lived in the city and now that we've lived in the country. The group that I do is more just a hangout time for the most part. I find that a lot of the moms that are in my particular group have either very, very little kids or children with special needs. They just don't have the capacity, and I can't do everything. So our group just does field trips. I organized this year, I guess this answers sort of the activity question too. We did skating once a week, which was fantastic. Our local arena gave it to us for free for an hour a week. It was fantastic. So it was kind of organized, but it didn't take any planning on our part. So I've done it in a way that was very, very minimal stress for the moms. So other than that, it's just kind of like the kids kind of have free play within reason. Like we'll do kind of like, they can do like a show and tell kind of thing. So there's often like something sort of organized, but it doesn't take a lot of prep. Or we'll do like board games or yeah, that kind of stuff.
So for finding one, like I live in Winnipeg, so Facebook has been a really good option. I also do a homeschool events newsletter for Winnipeg, and I have all the co-ops I know of in there. Word of mouth, starting your own, but also regional reps. So we have most of the regions fitted with a regional rep, and if you email them, they can tell you of any. I don't know if you live in the city or not. You do live in the city. I'm your regional rep. So we can chat more, and you can sign up for the newsletter. But yeah, once we get rural, I'm a little more hazy. But if you reach out to your regional rep, they can help direct you. And then also creating one is a really good option. Both I'm in three right now, and all of them are quite organized. That's something I like with them. So we do classes that are better together type thing. But there's tons of options.
It also varies some, because you'll find that sometimes there's a group that might be right close to you, but they're full.
Yes.
Not all the groups are saying, come on down. It's a variety of things. But talk to our regional reps, talk to Heather, talk to Larissa in Western Manitoba, talk to Angela in Interlake. So, to start. Other questions? We're 4 minutes overtime.
Oh, no.
Well, next session doesn't start till 10:30. Sure.
How do you find out about the reps? Like, do you find them?
If you go to the Matches website,
yep.
machs.ca, you'll see a listing
of
them there, I think. But if you're not sure, go to the Matches Facebook page, Matches Discussion Group, and just ask a question and say, who's the original rep? And you'll.
And the mentor table.
Mentor center upstairs at the top of the stairs.
And there's like a paper on the back of your program, right?
That you can
fill out and we'll reach out to you.
Yeah.
So you just check
if
your
you're
box.
Not going to the conference, just come talk to one of us and we'll find a way.
And in the Matches Facebook discussion group, it gives you the ability to say, I am in, you name the place, New Bothwell. Is there other homeschoolers here? Is there a support group? Is there a co-op that I can go about? Just ask. Other questions? One last one. If not, please join me in thanking our expert panelists. If there's something I would encourage you to do as you walk around this conference, you've already heard it, ask people. So why, what can you tell me your story? And listen to their story and ask questions and have that discussion. Yes, there's excellent workshops. But make use of the so many people that are homeschoolers just like you.
Anybody with yellow or green?
Yellow or green are those that, and purple I think also is the color of the name bands. People that can help you. So thanks for coming. Feel free to ask questions at any point. We'll hang around for a bit. The youth will be, they're all gathering there because their session starts shortly. And they'll be occupying this room. But thanks for coming. And let's just close in prayer. I'd like to pray for you as you go from here and as you continue your homeschool journey. Lord God, I thank you for the homes that are represented here. I thank you for these parents, for these families. And I pray your blessing on them. And I pray that as they walk around this conference, as they think about teaching their children diligently, whether that be homeschooling or otherwise, that you would bless them, that you would be with them, that you would direct them. And Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had together, and we thank you for the privilege to be able to exercise our choice in educating our children. And I just pray that you would be with us as we go from here. And we thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.